This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the TVI podcast. Carl Donnelly here.
Say less.
Say less. Julian Dean over there. Guest, is it your first time on here, Annie, or is it the return?
Yeah, I think it is.
It is, Annie McGrath.
I think I was supposed to do it a while ago and then flaked out for a reason I can't remember.
Yeah, or we just
some sort of lie that I can't maintain because I can't remember what it was. Reason.
Our admin is famously shit, so it could have been one of us as well. But welcome for joining us from where are you? London. You're in London.
In London, have you heard of it?
I haven't, not for a while. I've been in Australia fucking 4 months.
Are you in Australia?
I am, yeah. I've been here since November. I'm going stir crazy. Like it's too long to be somewhere that you don't live, I've realized. Like,
normally, so is this nighttime for you?
Yeah, it's now 9:06 PM. Which actually is
night.
Well, as a father of a 3 and 3/4 year old, this is about my bedtime when I'm not gigging now, like, and I love it. But last night I've been going to bed really early and getting up like too early, sort of, you know, like one of them sort of proper, you know, up at the crack.
Doing
of
your
the
ice sport. Baths and
well, no, not even doing that, just
sprints.
Getting up and just being up and about, like, but then the problem is once you get into that routine, if you wake up if I wake up between the window of 4 and 6 AM, I'm up.
Wank time.
I'm up now.
Yeah.
Like today I woke up.
Was that not what you meant? Sorry.
I woke up at 20 to 5 in the morning today and I was just awake. I was like, I'm up now. So I got up and I made waffles. I started making waffles for when.
They're early risers over there, aren't they?
What, bird's eye waffles?
No, not bird's eye waffles, like fucking waffle waffles, mate. I'm not 4 years old.
Some alphabet-y spaghetti.
Although, do you know what? When's the last time you had a bird's eye potato waffle? Both of you.
Do you know what? I don't think I've ever had one.
That is unacceptable.
Don't log out of the podcast.
Yeah, do you mind?
Sorry, yeah.
Really? Sorry. Like, because I hadn't had one since, I would say, 11 years old. And then I was at some friends a while ago who have a child the same age as me and my wife. And they gave their daughter...
The same age as you and your wife. That's an old style.
But they gave their kid a potato waffle.
I'm always on, Annie.
As a quick snack.
Yeah, I know, it's good.
They got them out of the freezer, chucked one in a toaster on defrost, gave it to their kid.
Not really.
As a snack. And then I went, can I have one? And I tried one. They are well tasty, actually. They're shit, but well tasty.
It's weird because they're just chips, aren't they? But just a different shape.
Yeah, but the thing about chips is the shape is the thing, isn't it? That's what most of the taste of a chip comes. No, I mean, it's probably psychosomatic. Like, what's your favourite chip shape? Welcome to the hard-hitting questions of TVI podcast, Annie McGrath.
Well, like curly potatoes. Fries were quite exciting at school, weren't they? Did you ever have curly fries?
I don't really like curly fries for some reason.
No, I don't like the taste of them, but shape-wise, they've got a lot going on.
You had curly fries at school, yeah.
Yeah,
what,
sorry, I'm a bit posh.
What school Eton did you or something? Go to? I thought it was from the streets, man. Not really.
Yeah, I put up a good show of it. But
what school did you go to?
Oh, are you trying to get me cancelled?
Why is it a school or something?
Why is it the Nazi youth school?
Actually, I did find out recently that one of my teachers was a pedo.
I mean, teachers, I think 40% of teachers are pedos.
That's an absolutely made up statistic.
I've read the data.
Such a huge claim.
I reckon one in every school minimum.
What age are you, if you don't mind me asking?
20.
Okay,
you do
mind me. What I mean is, there's a generation of people, and it's probably a bracket of. Well, it's actually there's an age. If you're above a certain age, I think you definitely had a paedophile teacher at school. Right? I think it has got better now. I think they have phased out.
I just think the paedos have probably got smarter.
What, they're just not getting caught.
Yeah, like back in the day, it was just. I remember my teacher. I've said it before. Like she tried kissing me, didn't she, when I was 11.
Nice.
Yeah, that's not very subtle.
Nice.
Yeah, but we were at a party, like the school party, and she just said, "Give me a," like she tried kissing me.
That's fucked. Like, that's so fucked.
And what did you say? Did you do it?
I mean, we've been together now for 30 years.
30 years.
I've got to rock the school uniform every day.
What did you do again? I can't actually remember. You have mentioned this story before. What did you do?
I just was shy, even though I fancied her. I was just shy. I was only 11.
The fact that you're 11 is the main.
Yeah, I just kind of clammed up, man. I had no riz back then, man.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
Pussy.
Nowadays,
very down,
man,
with the kids. Saying riz. I only learned that word at Christmas.
I've never heard it before. So thanks, guys.
It's short for charisma.
Oh, is it?
I didn't know that.
Isn't it charismatic? Like,
That makes sense. Yeah. I didn't know, but I did have.
How old
then.
Was the teacher when you were 11?
She must have. It's hard to say, isn't it, when you're that age? But she was a lady, obviously. She must have been in her. She was the head of our whole year, so right. She must have been in her 30s minimum.
Yes,
but she was. I fancied her, no doubt.
Okay.
And she could tell.
Yeah. She laid it out for you, and you just fucking knocked her back,
you
mate.
Just put it on a plate, mate.
It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But the back to the main point we were discussing, and that was curly fries don't taste good.
Yeah, that's grapes. Like sweet potato chips are always a bit. I always think that's a good idea, but they're always just rubbery and stuff.
If
you get a crispy one, I think they're good.
And also they are much healthier. So like, I have recently forced myself to start liking sweet potato chips, I suppose, or I'll sort of knock a few up on the side. Wedges, obviously, the shittest of all the chip shapes.
I like a triple cooked chip.
Oh,
what,
yeah.
A Burger King one?
Fat and crispy.
No, a pub chip.
No, a gastro pub one.
Yeah. My favourite, before we move on to an actual proper topic, is...
I
love a chip, just a proper old chip shop chip. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, they're probably the best.
Like soggy and vinegary.
Fat
vinegar, bit of kebab meat. Not really.
I think they are the gold standard of chips. But any funny shapes just can fuck off. Like, you know, I think it just.
The faces ones,
They just stand on truffle chips.
Well, I mean, I love truffle. I love truffle oil. I like it on certain things. And
Never heard of it.
I went to a coffee shop in, where was I?
They sell it in Asda.
I was in Brisbane the other week, and I went to a cafe, and they had truffled sriracha, and it was one of the tastiest.
Sriracha, the sauce.
The hot sauce, and it was truffled.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I feel like it's a fine line, though, isn't it, between, like, it can sort of make or break a meal because it sort of smells absolutely disgusting.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Makes your meal stink.
Yeah, but it's the good stuff. I suppose garlic does if you overshoot the,
this food smells like shit. Try it though, it's nice.
I grew a lion's mane mushroom recently. Have you ever had a lion's mane mushroom?
No, that's a nice thing to say, though.
It's a big, fat, like, sort of, it's quite smooth mushroom. It sort of looks, I'm trying to think, I can't even describe, but it looks like a sort of fruit or something, or like a big potato, but pure sort of white, off-white. And when you cook it and slice it, it's incredibly meaty and very dense. But I grew one in a
sounds revolting
in a pantry.
yeah, that doesn't make it sound better.
But mushroom, you know, mushrooms are a very diverse branch of foods. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Are you vegan?
Good chat.
I don't like diversity. No, you not really. That's a joke.
But your diet is pretty. I'd say your diet is pretty. You know, narrow the parameters. You know, you're quite simple. You eat for
saying
fuel.
I'm stupid.
You eat like, you know, you eat sort of like a fuckwit. Oh, no. Yeah, okay. What I'm saying is,
are you like
eat...
a meat and two veg guy, Julian?
I'm so pale, man. Why did I do that?
You know, but what I'm saying is, you eat for fuel. You eat for fuel rather than
I do eat
a foodie.
For fuel. Yeah, like
I'm into food.
No, I'm not a foodie. No, I think it's like people who, I mean, everyone likes music, obviously. Like, how can you not? But some people are like too into it, don't you think?
Well,
yeah.
What are your hobbies and interests? What's the thing you're most passionate about that, you know, all you got to do is equate it to that, I think, when it comes to interests. Like, what's the thing?
Yeah, but with
you...
music, I feel like there's a lot of, like, power play by people who know their music. So
pretension,
when they ask you what music you like, I always panic. Even though...
Right. I suppose, But I think but you can still be really into music and, you know, I think it is an understandable hobby, isn't it? Like, to be into music.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And food is, you do have to eat food. So I think it's also a valid hobby, like,
yeah,
interest.
Yeah.
Are you the sort of guy that would have Huel then, Julian?
That's not somebody who eats for fuel, really knows what they're doing, who would have Huel, I don't think.
Why? What is
that's a convenient. It's not a bad thing. It's a convenience.
Talked on here about how you drink Herbalife and you smoke.
Herbalife, I like. Yeah, it's just that. But
what's Herbalife?
It's similar to Huel, I guess.
All right. So yeah, is the answer to that.
Oh my gosh!
I'm
it's
getting
exactly
exposed
the same
here.
Yeah, you are.
I'm trying to sound smart and it ain't working.
You'd be good in space because they just sort of like powdered shapes, don't they? Like ice cream that's made of powder.
Yeah. Do what? Yeah, do they?
Yeah. What do you think they eat?
I've got to go all the way to space to be normal. You'd be good if you lived on another planet. You might fit in better.
I wish you lived in space.
Julian, can't you fuck off?
Oh God.
But I do eat for fuel, but it's not a choice. Like, it's just, I grew up kind of really healthy. My mum's like super healthy, man, and like vegan mainly.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really I'd never really liked food, to be honest.
Mm.
So if you don't love food, you may as well eat healthily. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. But I think, well, I went the other way. I grew up my parents were Irish. You know, they were proper meat and two veg.
Guinness for brekkie.
It was just booze and bland food. So I did the opposite of like... just dancing all the time,
doing the jig in the morning.
I
used to Irish dance, actually.
Because what's your obviously cool. The name, you have an Irish name.
I won't
what's
flex
the,
that
what's the Irish
well done
how Irish is your background?
Thank you for asking. I'm actually 5/8 Irish, so I've got the passport.
Nice.
Don't have the accent.
How do you know the exact maths of that?
Because my mum is 100% and my dad is a quarter, I think.
Yeah.
Just did the maths myself.
That sounds about right. Oh, have you ever done a DNA test?
No, do you think I should?
To see if they're your real parents.
Is this the big reveal on the podcast?
To see if you flag up on any Interpol
databases.
Julian's
my dad.
No, but it's because I did one of those.
I'm not. I'm old enough to be your older brother, not your dad.
Yeah, I know.
Have you ever seen, I'm sure, do you know the comedian Michael Redmond? Very funny.
Oh yeah,
Irish comedian.
He's your dad.
No, but he's like, he's one of, he's got a, I mean this is years ago I saw him do it. It's so funny. He's quite a quoted comedian, actually. He had a joke, because obviously he's quite shit, is the quote. He's quite an old, you know, he's an older chap. And looks like, you know, big grey hair and grey tash.
Big smustache,
I literally just described myself, but that's different. But
your character act.
He is actually my dad, I think.
He gets quoted a lot by me.
Yeah. But he used to sort of, if there was like a group of young like women on the front row, sort of, you know, early 20s, and he's obviously like, you know, he would have been mid-60s and looks sort of, you know, naturally the way he looks is quite dour and older. And he used to be like, start chatting to them. On stage, and then he'd go like, "Oh, I'm not trying to chat you up there. Like, I'm old enough to be your really old boyfriend." And it's just a really funny line. It's very silly. But what's your relationship with food, Annie? That sounded more like a psychologist.
I think it's quite good. I would say I'm fairly healthy. My mom is Irish, but is very into her food. Maybe as a result of going to like different Catholic convents in Northern Ireland, where they ate absolute crap and not very much of it. But she is now a nutritional therapist, so she's
good.
Yeah, an osteopath / nutritional therapist.
Oh, nice! So you can get yourself aligned and nice food and stuff.
Yeah, I think
she do your back and things.
Yeah.
What is that? What is that?
That's well handy.
I'm an idiot. What is it? An osteopath is what is. Posture.
It's a back
doctor. Oh, it's bones and muscles. Yeah, it's not
it's
posture.
Bones and muscles. I think you'd describe it better than that.
But. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a chiropractor. They're very similar, but there's differences, aren't there?
Yeah, I think you have more of a medical background with osteopathy. And
well,
it looks
I've heard...
the body as a whole, rather than like, my arm hurts, so I'll fix your arm. It's more of a holistic.
Is it true?
It's more like, my arm
is
hurts,
it true that
fix your
chiropractors...
toes.
Yeah. Is it true chiropractors essentially are totally unmedically trained and like it's all sort of its own
I've been to one and it helped a lot.
Right, okay.
But they're not recognised by science technically.
That's what I mean. I've just seen I've read a few things about them being like almost like
a
wild
bit of Billy
West.
Bullshit, I think, yeah.
That's what I've heard, yes. What would your mum's take be on a chiropractor?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you should have got her on the podcast. I think she'd be more informed than me.
Just wanted to start.
Yeah, my
beef.
Understanding is that they have more of a medical background.
Mm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, look at my mascara! It's just started running from crying.
I saw that, and I thought it was a spot of something on my screen, so I didn't say anything.
No, that's on my face. It's just one solitary tear.
Yeah, look like have you killed someone recently?
Why
got a tattoo? Is that what's happened?
You got a teardrop tattoo. You just got out of jail.
Yeah, it's my first podcast after coming out of jail.
Speaking
but you
of jail,
play sports and stuff, don't you play football?
Yeah, I did actually get a tattoo of a football.
Did you? On your foot?
Do you want to see it? Yeah.
Is it oh yeah.
Sorry, that that's just me showing you my tattoo. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Is that a football?
Yeah, that does just look like a mole.
I look
cancerous. Do you
want to
see my moles?
Yeah, something a hairy
mole. Do you
want
to see my stage four?
I got it with Jill Scott, former lioness.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And is that your first and only tattoo?
Yeah, can you tell?
Because that's exactly where my friend Garrett has one tattoo only that he got when he was younger, and it's in the exact same position. It's a Chinese symbol that definitely doesn't say what he thinks it says. But
what does he think it says?
Well, I can't remember, but I'm sure. I remember it was such a dodgy tattoo parlor. I reckon they just took the piss out of him. But that's a real. That's a real, I'm going to get one tattoo only and I'll admit.
That's a real gap year tattoo.
Just, yeah, like.
Yeah,
I'm
looking to
get
a tattoo.
I tried to get mine higher up on my ankle. They were like, no, do you want it a bit higher up so, you know, it's more visible? But no, I want to be able to hide it.
Full kneecap. It should have gone full kneecap.
Yeah, full face.
What are you going to get, Julian? What would be your tattoo of choice?
I don't know.
Have you got any? No.
I've got none, no.
But Where would you want it?
I don't know if it's a midlife crisis or not, but I'm really keep looking at people's tattoos and thinking, yeah, I'd want to get some ink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit big or little. Neck,
yeah. Just like a big fucking gun just... up my neck. Just like,
yeah.
just like a
vape pen or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Vape pen hanging out your mouth.
a cigarette going up my cheek. A big dick down my inner leg. I don't know if I mentioned it here before,
but I went with my mate, and when we were 17, I went with a friend to get his first tattoo, and he was getting a big inverted sort of sword down his back with like a dragon round it. It was fucked, and it was so painful as well, because like down the middle of your back is quite a painful location for him. And it was this
spine
as well, and it was quite a big piece. It was a few hours, and while I was waiting, I went for moral support, and I was sat in the waiting room, and just this crazy bastard just walked in, clearly off his nut, and just went up and like sort of went to the person at the reception, and went, "Hey mate, just want to ask him," he goes, "How much would it be to get like two women's legs, like full size, like one kind, like it's basically start there, and one goes down this arm, one goes down this arm." And like their feet are down there, and he just said it like so, like, "How much would that be?" And you could see
cocaine or something.
Yeah, he was on something, and the guy was like, "Right, yeah, you know, maybe if we'd have to sort of knock up a, you know, a quote and send it to you." Like the guy was just like, "Fuck off, out of my shop! Like, I don't want a quote for this because it's not real, mate. You don't really want this. You're just having a psychosis." But like,
I tried getting one when I was 15, but they wouldn't serve me, thankfully. I was going to get a Millwall tattoo.
Oh, my God. Oh,
no. I didn't even like football. Like, I was just in the queue, and my mate was, I don't know. I weren't even going to go there for a tattoo. I went there with someone. I was like, I'll just get a Millwall tattoo. I didn't even support them.
Fuck.
They've got the scariest fans as well, haven't they?
I know. And also the most sort of enemies. You don't want to find yourself, you know. Just it being spotted by the wrong person. That's the thing. I'd never get a Tottenham tattoo, even though I'm a lifelong Tottenham fan, because in my head, part of me thinks, what if I ended up accidentally in a prison cell overnight and I'm with five fucking horrible assholes?
For murder.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean. So, yeah, I've always been, I'm always like, don't get an affiliation to anything on you. That's if you're going to get them, keep it pretty sort of vague.
A little swastika or something. You've got to avoid that kind of thing, haven't you?
Right.
Just get it somewhere like that's not on show, at least, you know.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. None of mine are really on show. I've got one on this arm that I like, unless I'm wearing short sleeves, it's visible, but I very rarely wear short sleeves. Like,
I feel like getting a bit of writing, like maybe on my pec.
Same what?
Yeah.
My strong pec.
just saying, this is my strong pec.
Strong.
What does yours say, Carl?
The one on my arm there is a
Hitler speech.
that's a quote from a hymn called "When a Knight Won His Spurs." It's a verse.
Is that his pronoun?
I've got a few little bit shit, like I've got something, like one in there, I've got another one in there.
The DMT? That's DMT, isn't it?
Yeah, that one there is that was a drunken tattoo that I got after an all-nighter.
Yeah, you can
tell.
It's
a matching tattoo with the comedian
Kai Humphries.
Because
the tattoo is drunk.
I mean, the guy should not have let us be getting them, man. But we just sort of...
What does it say, that red one?
It's the letters NB, which stands for naughty boys. So it was a very rash decision on me and Kai's part to get matching tattoos.
Isn't that what you say in an email, NB?
NB, yeah.
Yeah, what does NB stand for again?
NB.
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
It's definitely not naughty
Maybe
boys.
Maybe it is naughty boys.
It could be naughty boys.
I've been a naughty boy, by the way. What's NB on an email? Oh, yeah, I shouldn't know that because I've sent an email before.
Yeah? Yeah. How many? Actually, you emailed me. I know you didn't email me.
I was thinking about
the first time I met you, Julian, and it was that gig in Bexhill-on-Sea.
Do you think about that a lot? Yeah.
I thought about it recently because I remember our management saying, "Oh, good news, guys, the gig sold out." and we got there and it was a Christmas party.
Oh my god. Like,
yeah, it sold out because it's one company and they
and my glove
it
box was open the whole way.
Yeah, I got a lift with Julian and your wing mirror had smashed and sort of was hanging on by a thread. And every time you braked, the glove compartment fell on my lap.
Oh, God.
That was the gig that that woman, when we were sort of backstage, which was just like in the same room by the speaker, she came up to me and asked me if I had a vase.
A vase?
I think she thought I was a waitress.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, that's...
two male acts and me. So she was on a vase duty.
Yeah, that was Bex Hill on Sea.
Where
wasn't
is
it?
Bex Hill on Sea?
Yeah.
South near East. Hastings.
Right, yeah.
Is it, yeah, Kent, is it?
Kent, yeah.
Let's do some good questions. Times. Come on, let's do some questions. From listeners / patrons. Have you ever had a joke that was good but didn't work because it didn't go well with your on-stage persona? And somebody then has added, oh no, then he's followed up with and maybe given it to another comic.
I've sold jokes that I don't do, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Who do you sell them to? And what's your rate?
Look at you in the market for some new jokes.
Yeah, asking for a friend.
It was quite a lot of money, and they're very big comedian, yeah. But
it was that. Did
I
you
don't know,
it was basically that Julian wrote that whole Dave Chappelle trans show.
Yeah, yeah.
Just trying to get other comedians cancelled.
Roy Chubby Brown's tour show. Just didn't work for me at Top Secret.
I've given jokes to mates when, like, sort of, you know, in that I've said I've sort of had an idea and I've been chatting to a comedian friend and I'm like, I don't, and I've sort of said, oh, you should try it. I think it'd work better for you. And they've used it.
The N word's fine to say, honestly.
But
I can do it because it doesn't fit with my persona.
Yeah. It's a bit, you know, a bit about being an ugly wanker. Doesn't suit me. I've given mates, or I've been writing with a friend and we've sort of worked up a bit. And then the idea was we were working on my bits and we go back and forth. But as we've worked up a bit, it's sort of been like, I've gone like, no, actually, that sounds better with you. So they've sort of walked away with it. I don't think I've written anything that hasn't been sounded like me for ages. Because when you get, the longer you do it, the more you write in your own voice, don't you? It's a bit, it all comes out a bit more fully formed.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to think if I've given anyone any jokes. I mean, I went out with a comedian, so that you sort of end up writing bits for each other, sort of.
Yeah. So what's it? And so you actually did like genuinely write. You know, you would sort of. You know, was it a?
Well, I think you just have conversations, and the more you're just like, I don't know, the longer you're together, the more sort of stories you have, and you sort of end up gigging together and working out bits together. And...
Yeah, I suppose. Here we go. Let's do this. What's Annie's favourite? The writing, performing, or the art when it comes to comedy?
Interesting.
But also you act as well, so you've got other strings to your bow.
Yeah. I do. I've spread myself too thin. What do I like most? I mean, when a gig is a good gig, there's no other feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, being the person that's made everyone laugh.
Or unless the best feeling is when a gig gets cancelled and you haven't set off yet.
Oh, yeah. And you still
I mean, that's the best feeling.
Yeah, that's the best feeling.
We did a lovely gig last year. Or was it the year before? Do you remember that outside gig we did?
Oh, fuck. Where was that?
It's like Guildford-y kind of. I don't know
was
where it,
nice?
It was.
Oh, yeah. It was nice in the end.
Yeah, but the sun was coming down.
Gig.
In the end, there was a real tell there about.
At the beginning, but as the sun was setting and by the time I went on, it was like really dark and nice.
Yeah,
and...
We lucked out, I think. We were in the car or something. That was fun. Yeah. I wonder where that was. Was it in a castle? Didn't it say it was a castle, but we got there and it was like a brick wall?
Yeah, it was like something or other.
Ruins of a castle.
The sky was there.
I did a gig a couple of years ago. It was sort of.
It was that Avalon
was it
one
Reigate?
Down in.
I know
where you're talking about. I definitely think I did that as well, a different night.
I think just when you
nice.
Said outdoor gig, I just had so many sort of, I don't know, triggered me to think of all the post COVID gigs with masks. Oh, man.
I remember I did some Battersea Arts Centre ones out in their little courtyard and everyone audience all had to wear masks. It was such a weird experience.
That was quite nice, that little venue.
It was a nice enough gig in that, but it was nice just looking venue. Back that everyone was wearing masks. It was such a weird experience to be doing.
Yeah.
At the time, you were just like, this is funny. But like, it was just purely, I think we talked ourselves into it being a normal.
That was my first gig after months, man. I was so nervous thinking, what am I even doing? What is this job? Like, you've got to go over them, like, speak in front of everyone.
Was any part of you like, hopefully stand-up will never come back? And we can just have a normal
job. I don't know if I missed it. I don't know. Like, I got back into it and I started to like it, but it took a crowds were like, there was a lot of nice buzz, wasn't there? A nice feeling in the room, I guess.
Yeah. There
was... after lockdown.
Yes. It was, I didn't miss it for about 3 months, I think. For that first 3 months, I was like, oh, this is what it's like to have a normal life. Like, I was watching, like, you know, Saturday night television. I'd never watched Strictly Come Dancing before. Like, and suddenly I'm watching things like that. And even though it's like all that stuff sort of crap, I was like, this is a nice way to live, to like just sit in front of the telly on a Saturday and get a takeaway.
Yeah, be getting the train to Hereford.
Yeah.
It was lovely. Getting up in the morning and thinking I can stay in all day and night for like weeks and it's all right.
I'd basically never done that. Like I was a kid and then I started working, but I was young and all my mate, we'd go out at the weekend and just get shit faced from the moment we finished work on Friday till we went back to work on Monday. And then I started comedy. So I've never ever experienced what it's like to be a normal person at a weekend who just has a sort of quite a nice home life. So like, I just found it such a revelation. It's definitely, it's what I took away from it was I'm now much more of a home bird in that I don't leave home that
same. Long.
I don't gig out when I'm in London. I don't gig out of town hardly ever. You know, I do stick to London and I like to get home early. And like, I'm just a bit of a boring.
You're really into
Strictly now. I love Strictly. You know what? I genuinely do like
never
it.
Never miss
now.
An episode.
You've been dancing around the house.
Yeah, straight on doing the cha-cha Sunday morning. You know what I mean, get up, match of the day, fucking Strictly. Yes, please.
I don't know how to answer that. I like painting. I like the mixture of it. I mean, stand-up's quite sociable in a way, in that you're with people all the time. But there's also an element of it, as you both know, that's quite lonely when you're just
painting. Looks really like meditative and therapeutic, and it looks really nice. Like, but I just can't draw. I'm shit.
I bet you can.
I haven't got the patience.
But... Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think I can though.
I reckon you can.
Because I'm just so talented.
And you're sort of fearless, I think. You strike me as someone who's not worried about failing. That's supposed to be a compliment.
Not worried about what anyone thinks of them.
Can we edit out that last three words? Fearless. You don't care what you look like, what you sound like. You're a loser, and you don't care
about like how you come across to anyone else on earth.
You don't care about your breath, man. It's admirable. Most people care about their teeth and what they look. What are they? Your paintings behind you?
That one is.
Oh, nice.
So we both can't draw. Not really.
Exactly. That's just like a splash of color, basically.
You don't care what you put on your wall. It's so
I'll put anything up.
Was that covering a hole?
That was
or
something? That was a real lockdown painting.
That's really nice, though. I like it.
Thanks. I went very abstract.
Do you sell paintings?
I do. I only really started doing that in the pandemic when all the comedy work sort of dried up. And then I set up an Instagram account and just managed to get some commissions.
Nice. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So I think people that had more money in lockdown were just sort of stuck at home.
What's your Instagram handle?
Thanks for asking, Julian. It's mcgrah.art, I think.
Can we edit that out? Cool.
McGrah.Annie and McGrah.Art.
Okay.
And McGrah.Annie.
Yeah, yes. I've also just joined TikTok, which makes me feel about 1,000 years old.
I know.
You're on it, Carl.
Well, I'm on it, but I haven't been on it for like, I can't access it.
We've got a TVI TikTok. I've got a TikTok. I don't really do anything on it though.
It's scary to me, but I'm trying to start doing sketches. and it takes me so long to
Google. But I don't think I've opened TikTok since like mid-December. That's the last time I opened it. Just because
that's where everyone is, I realise.
I know everyone's there, and that's what I don't. I realise it's the third time I've tried to get on TikTok that in December, where it's like about once every 6 months ago, I should get on there, and I download it again, and yeah. I open it, and just within a few days, I'm like, I can't be part of this. Like, it does feel like the one the most that's just it literally feels like it's killing me as I'm watching it and looking at it.
I'm on it a lot, like watching stuff. Not a lot, but like, you know, I do have a little look on there.
Yeah. I don't know. It's almost like I've drawn my line in the sand with social media, is that one is one step too far. I just can't.
That's what I thought. And now I'm a convert since I put one thing up that went well. I was like, this place is great. Because Twitter now is just like a barren waste.
One of my first posts just got over a million on there. And I'm like, fucking hell, TikTok's amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah.
It's not the posting stuff, it's just when you open to post something, naturally you will see other things.
It's so noisy, that's what I don't like about it. You open it and it's immediately
it's good algorithms though. If you like stuff, it would just give you more of that, and like
it's also quick and toxic to your brain.
I know it's not great for your brain, man.
I'm still rocking the I've got an app that I've been using for the last 5 weeks, probably maybe a month.
Grindr.
It's great. Everywhere you go, you can literally just pick up. But it's
like Deliveroo for dicks.
That should be their tagline.
That's a great tagline. But it's called Opal, and it basically, in the morning I get up, and at nine, I've got it set 9 till 5. I can't look at anything on my phone. I can get a message on WhatsApp and that's it, basically. Or I can get an email, but I can't look at any single thing outside of that on my phone. And then after 5 o'clock, I normally...
From 9 to 5 all day?
All day, I can't look at any social media at all.
Wow.
And then...
That's like Google Nanny. Do you remember Google Nanny?
No.
Where it would just tell you, like, the same thing. It just sort of... wouldn't allow you to go on stuff for
it's really good. I feel so much better for it, and normally it gets to 5 and I'll check it, and then I've got it set that I can just hit a button, it goes into another 2.5 hour block, so I'll check it for like 10 minutes at 5 and then hit a 2.5 hour block, so that means the whole of dinner time and all that stuff I can't look at it either. And then sort of if I go to a gig, then en route to the gig I sometimes can have a look, because I've come out of that window. And then normally once I get to the gig, I just whack it back on. I can't look at it again. So like throughout the day, I'm allowing myself like 3 windows of 10 minutes or so to look at stuff. And it's really
good. Yeah, my Instagram's set to 15 minutes. So after I've been on it for 15 minutes, it's like, you need to close the app. And click not now. And then
Right. 5 hours.
Yeah. Who are you talking to? I bought the phone.
Yeah, fuck off. You don't make the rules.
Fuck off, Nan, you whore.
We got a question last week we didn't get round to that they've actually sent again. Just in case you get round to it this week. So this is from Mike. He says, can I ask the question? Based on your experience and general chat on the circuit, who are the nicest big name headline acts to be support act for? Most supportive, generous. And between us, which headliners have the reputation for being a bit of a prick, not good to support? What's the script with support slots?
Between us on this
Us. Guys, don't tell them. And then, they've actually asked a technical thing, which is like, when you do supports, do you get travel accommodation sorted? Which is quite a nice. Some people like to know the actual ins and outs. A lot to unpack there. First off, the admin of supporting, or, you know, it's different for everyone. Everyone has a different, you know, tour. If you're like, you know, I did Kevin Bridges support in Europe and Australia and New Zealand. And naturally, because there was that level of traveling, they're obviously covering all your your travel, your accommodation, pretty much, you know, it pretty much all food and things, like other than little incrementals. Yeah, it was basically like properly just being on the road, you know, sort of you're part of a little tour gang. So that was on the technical
side. Did you know him before you went on tour?
Yeah. So we've known each other for years, and in terms of like big names who are you know, really nice and supportive. Now he's, you know, he's definitely just so, he's absolutely the same as he was when I met him when I first started comedy. Like, he's not sort of changed at all. He's one of the people that fame has absolutely not touched at all in terms of,
yeah,
change, like as a personality type or anything like that. He's just still just a nice, yeah, normal guy. That's nice. Very, you know, he's fun to travel with. But I don't, because I mean, I'm trying to think, I don't know anyone that sort of supports, you know, the big guns. I don't know anyone that's a real dick who's massively famous. I know it's a weird thing to say, but I often find the biggest dicks you meet in comedy is when you're new and you're on the open mic circuit, isn't it?
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
They're the biggest egos on the open mic circuit, aren't they?
Yeah. But who did, was that Lou?
I spotted Lou Sanders on tour, and obviously she's absolutely brilliant. And
yeah, yeah,
really good friends. So that was just great. Really fun.
It's just fun, isn't it? It's like having a little working holiday. Just,
I bet Lou's lovely, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
she's so,
I mean,
nice.
I know she is, but I mean, if you're opening for her and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, just really supportive and has a really nice fan base. So
yeah.
Because I had heard previously other acts who had supported other comedians find the warm-up quite difficult because they might be different stylistically to the act they're supporting.
I always like Joe Lycett when I've opened for him. It's just like perfect. He's just so chilled and relaxed,
and we
just have a laugh the whole time. And
it's
just
nice.
A really nice experience. Yeah. And you can just do whatever you like. He doesn't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do 10 minutes, do 20 minutes. It doesn't matter.
The only times I've ever even been told like specific things to do or not do, like, you know, normally it's sort of if you just go on, do your stuff, whatever, and they'll check, like, you know, don't do anything. If you're like, their show might cover a certain topic, they'll be like, if you can just avoid that, that'd be good. But like, I've done it a few times when I was newer and I did supports for quite a few people. I a few times got told, don't talk to the crowd, like, just don't do any chat with the crowd. Yeah, because basically it was
just go on there and just don't say anything.
Start doing your mime act.
Yeah. But no, it's because they didn't want you to get into some...
Right, that's the end of this week's public episode. We hope you enjoyed it. What happens now, Julian?
They can, if they want to hear the rest of the episode, they can go over to patreon.com/wearetvi.
There you go. Once you've signed up there, you can hear the rest of the episode. You can hear all the old Patreon episodes, exclusives, whatever.
It's 45p a week.
Is it? Mm. That's cool. Mm. I didn't know that.
Easy life.
There we go. It's even cheaper than I thought. So do that. And but if not, don't worry. You can listen to next week's public episode when it's released. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're actually changing the podcast.
I think you're
Bro, it used to die of AIDS in an alleyway. I'm alright, bro.